The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now here's a bottle of wine that's really a bottle of wine. This was made by our Iceman's grandfather. Same as he used to do in the old country. He puts the grapes in the bathtub and he jumps on them. I saw him do it.
Why didn't he take his socks off?
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Two words, therapy.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask. That's what we're here for. We are supposed to be your radio authority on wine. So we encourage you, call us 877-4-CRUSH-1 or email us, lauralawson@winecrush.com. Well, that's exactly what a lot of people have been doing after we did some informative segments on some shows. So today, because we have so many questions on corks, we are going to try and answer all of your cork and non-cork questions. Now, since I can't seem to do that all on my lonesome, besides telling Kent occasionally to put a cork in it, we do have some help today. We are going to be joined by Mr. Lars von Kantrau. He is the CEO of Normacork. And he's going to talk to us about alternative closures. In fact, Normacork is the largest producer of non-cork closures. They have about 60% of the worldwide volume. So if anybody is going to know anything about something that's not cork, it's going to be Lars. So we're looking forward to talking with him today. So,
and you know, last week was so educational. I mean, the mail has just flown in here since the show on Rieslings last week.
Well, that's good to know.
Right. I thought you'd like to know that.
I feel so much better. And how many lovely calls have you gotten? Did Ford call back?
No, Ford did not call back. I don't think Ford's talking to you right now. So,
well, he can join the list with the French. French aren't speaking to me and haven't been for a while.
Well, he's had a whole week to cool down, so maybe he's all right.
All right. We're still looking for him. For those of you, once again, feeling brave, call me 877-4-CRUSH-1 and let me know your wine questions so we can answer them on air. But this week, we have to do a hats off a little bit to the idea of a non-cork closure. So I have selected my wines very carefully to recommend this week. One of them is a cork closure, the other is a non-cork closure, and both of them are great wines, so you can just pick and choose what you want to so that we don't bias your opinion. The first wine I have picked is Jackson Hill Chardonnay. Now, Kendall Jackson, the number one selling wine in the world, the number one selling Chardonnay in the world, I will reiterate that, has come out with a new line of wines. They are called Jackson Hill Chardonnay, Jackson Hill Cabernet. And these wines are the second, third tier up from what we drink day in, day out with Kendall Jackson. These are wines that you're going to find first and foremost in your restaurants, and they're very much looking to what the diners like. They're very food friendly. They pair well. They're going to be a little different than what you expect to see. They've got a black label on them as opposed to the regular Kendall Jackson labels. But these are also wines that are highly regarded. 45% of the Chardonnay comes from Los Alamos, 55% are from Santa Maria. So you're doing Southern California. You're going to get a lot of that great tropical fruit. You're going to get pineapple. You're going to get a little bit of papaya. But they do the oak right on this, so it's not overwhelming. You still have a great flavor of vanilla with it, but the acidity in these wines help balance it out. Sometimes when you get all those tropical fruit flavors and the oak together, they tend to get a little flabby. This wine does not. For those of you who look into the acclaim, 91 points from Wine Enthusiast, 91 points from Robert Parker. These are done very small production. They're done in small barrels. The wines are exceptional. I love the Chardonnay, and I am a Chardonnay drinker's fanatic. So this is truly a Chardonnay lover Chardonnay. Jackson Hill Chardonnay, please do look for it at your local wine shops and your local restaurants. Now, as you can imagine, that is cork finished. So our alternative red today, we're going to go to the northern area of California. We are looking at 2008 Shannon Ridge Lake County Cabernet. And as you sit back and you look at a whole bunch of wines and you try and find red wines that are cork that are not cork finished and that are refreshing and good, it's easy to find Pinot Noirs, it's easy to find whites, but when it comes to finding great quality reds, sometimes there's a gap. Shannon Ridge Cabernet definitely has everything you're looking for. One, it's screw cap, ergo it's on the show today. Two, the wines are solid. This has a great flavor of blackberries. It has great blueberries to it. It's got a tannic structure that is there, but it's soft enough that you can drink it right now. And that's something you need to look for when, obviously, if you're going to buy a wine with a screw cap on it, you want approachability. And obviously, if the screw cap's on it, you kind of think, okay, well, I don't need to save that forever. I can drink it right away. Anyway, Shannon Ridge Cabernet is from Lake County. This is a county I think we're going to see a lot more of over the next 15 years. When you look at the fact that land has been so consumed throughout California, Napa and Sonoma, they have found their building boom and bust. As you go up towards Lake County, you have the great climates, you have the great mountains, you have the great soils. So definitely, this is an area worth looking at. Shannon Ridge, definitely a pioneer from the area and worth checking out. You should be able to find this at your local Mega Mart, your local grocery store for under $15, and it's well worth the investment, especially for those of you that are continuing to grill out, whether it's beef, whether it's the notorious PIG, whether it's lamb. This red wine accompanies everything. It has enough spice on it too. If you're going to blacken it or if you're doing barbecue, it will be just fine. So your two wine recommendations for today, Jackson Hills Chardonnay, Shannon Ridge Cabernet, and I think both of them will appeal to you no matter how you look at things. Well, today you like to evaluate corks. I know we have done this ad nauseum. In fact, for those of you who listened to the show last year, you know that B.R. Cohn was part of the show trying to decide whether or not they were going to start putting their reds in screw caps or they were going to continue a cork finish. But people often ask, what's the big deal? Who cares? You have half of them that say, oh, it's tradition. You have to have a cork. You have to have the pop. There's the other half that says, I want easy access. I want to not have to have a corkscrew with me. Don't laugh. I'm planning a trip soon, and I am sending probably two cases of wine up to where I am visiting, and I can't figure out how to get a corkscrew up there. I know where I'm going. I know I'll have to stop and buy a corkscrew, but the point being is once I land, I don't want to have to stop just so I can get my wines open. So yes, half my wines are indeed going to be screw cap. I figure by, oh, I don't know, day three after I get through 12 bottles, certainly I'll be able to find a grocery store that has a corkscrew. But the battle does continue. And there's a lot of interesting perspectives, and that's why we're doing today's show. We've got some emails that see both sides of it. Ultimately, changes are coming in the wine business. Changes are coming in the wine industry. We've all talked about it. We have talked about it probably 10 times away from Sunday when it comes to packaging. But ultimately, what is best and why? And that's what it comes down to. What are the closures that are being used? Why are they beneficial? And why should we care one way or the other? So that's what we're going to investigate on today's show and take a good look at it. Of course, more importantly, we are going to take your calls. You can reach out to us, 877-4-CRUSH-1. I know that there are some people who have chanced the wine line, and we'll give them a chance to voice their opinions. So as we launch into the idea, I've got to answer one email very quickly. It's very simple. It's very cut and dried. It's from Karen in Austin. Where does cork come from? Now, we have laughed about this on a show, but ultimately it comes from the cork tree. There is indeed a cork tree. It does have one of those great botanical names that identify species. But once again, as we covered last show, English is not necessarily my first language. And even though I took a number of years of Latin, I'm not going to attempt it. But the cork tree has been used for centuries. They found out that ultimately this bark can seal wine. It can seal bottles. It can seal just about anything you want it to. And it has a lot of great characteristics that allow it to, well, really influence the wine itself. And of course, as we know, the tradition of wine. So it does come from one specific tree. Now, in looking at the fact that it's a renewable resource, yes. But the cork tree is generally found in Mediterranean climates. I know a lot of people will argue this concept, but most of the corks actually come from Portugal. And the trees themselves, they're beautiful oaks. They're tall. They're wonderful. But if you walk through a cork forest, yes, there are cork forests, it is almost traumatic to see these things. Because ultimately, you have to cut into the tree itself, and then you have 7 inches under the bark that is the cork. So you see these poor trees as you're walking through, and it looks like someone has tried to cut ladders out of them. It looks like they've tried to cut windows in them. But fear not, what's great about these trees is once you go through, it takes about 10 years for a tree to be able to produce. And once it can produce, you can cut into its bark every 7 years. And it takes 7 years for it to regenerate and grow back. But as of yet, there are no parasites, there are no bugs that get into these trees, and they are perfectly happy stoppering our wine. Or Kent's mouth, as apparently you can see we use today.
That's right.
So Kent's over there being quiet. He's worried I've got the corks. So that's where they come from. That's how we get our corks, and we'll investigate a little further what makes them so good and what makes them so hardy. Right now, we'll take a break, but when we return, all the answers you ever wanted about cork.
Check out winecrush.com for weekly wine recommendations, recipes, blogs, and news items.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem. Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
I have a structured settlement and needed my money. Waiting over time to receive payments wasn't working, so I contacted CBC Settlement Funding. They helped me turn my structured settlement into immediate cash. If you're receiving a structured settlement spread out over time and you want a lump sum amount immediately, you need to call now. I purchased a local bakery with my lump sum, a goal I thought I would never reach. Now I make my own dough. I always wanted to operate my own business, and thanks to CBC Settlement Funding, we are open for business. Structured settlements are commonly used to resolve personal injury lawsuits. Annuities are designed to spread payments out over 10 or 20 years.
If you have a structured settlement and you want cash now, call CBC Settlement Funding for fast cash today. 800-203-3517. 800-203-3517. 3517. 800-203-3517.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like,
"Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUsKids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys. You going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Well, a plane touched down just about 3 o'clock, and the city's still on my mind. Bikinis and palm trees danced in my head. I was still in the baggage line.
You're listening to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today we are doing our best to make corks interesting. And yes, we were just laughing in the hall. Is there a way to make corks interesting? I think there is. Ultimately, there's a lot of mystique around corks, whether to use them, not to use them. But I've always wondered, this always fascinates me when you go back over history or you look at the tradition of something. How did something start? You know, did someone happen to wander through a forest and see cork lying on the ground and decide, oh, I'll put that in my bottle so it'll quit leaking? You always wonder where it starts, and honestly, I don't have an answer for you. But ultimately, the Greeks back in the 5th century were known to use cork to close wine jugs. Now, the problem was back then, yes, corks fit, but wine jugs, number one, they were big, number two, they were heavy, number three, they had a real tendency to fall over and break. So we really don't start hearing about cork as a wine fixture and as a wine closure until glass production got consistent. Once we could consistently produce bottles that all had the same size mouth and the same size opening, then we could start seeing the cork production really ramp up. Now, it's interesting to look at the fact that this is what we adopted. We're going to put cork in a wine bottle. We're going to make the bottle go through. It travels well. It doesn't leak. And they learned it actually helped with the wine because we all know wine needs a little bit of wine. But ultimately, corks are being used 1598, 1600, 1602. Here is the part of this that I absolutely love. The corkscrew was not invented till about 1681. So my question then becomes, if we started using corks back in the late 1500s and we didn't develop the corkscrew until 1681, how were they getting the corks out of the bottles? Kent, any ideas?
None at all.
None at all. Hey, we'd love to have your opinions on that, on how they got the corks out. Call us 877-4CRUSH-1 or email us lauralawson@winecrush.com.
You once had a huge argument with your former co-host, Michael Ambrose, when he was in here about cork. Do you remember what that was? You guys got into a huge argument about cork one day.
We got into the different concepts of screw cap or cork, which one was more beneficial for wine, which one helped wine out the most.
Okay.
Michael, being older, he was very much in favor of corks and thought that there was no wine worth its salt that didn't have a cork closure. I, of course, thought that screw caps, they're convenient, they're helpful, and it makes it easier to drink in a hurry.
Right.
So that's where that all came from.
Okay.
See? You can enlighten us. All right. So ultimately, if you look at the cork, you look at the corkscrew, it brings us to a whole bunch of interesting questions about the tradition of corks. And my favorite is going to be illuminated in the email from Elaine. And Elaine writes us from Fresno. She writes, does the smell of the cork have anything to do with the wine? And I think this was the root of what Michael and I got into a fight about that day. Anytime you see a waiter come up, he puts the cork down and someone automatically grabs the cork and smells it, I hope they're in cork production, because that's pretty much all that the cork can tell you. It can tell you where it was produced by the smell of the cork. Past that, it tells you nothing about the wine. The whole point of having the cork on the table is so you can pick it up, you feel it. If the cork is soggy, chances are the wine has a chance to have bacteria, the wine may be bad, the wine may have a problem. So that is the whole point of that. No, cork smells can tell you absolutely nothing. So I hope that helps. That's one of your baselines. Right now, I think we have a call on the wine line. Of course, I'm hoping he's asking about cork, but you never really know. We have Tim from Miami. Tim, welcome to the Wine Crush.
I have a question. I've read some articles lately about alternative closures. What are some of the better ones, and what are the benefits versus corks?
Kent, you perfectly set me up on that. I don't know how you planned that, but you did. We are certainly going to get into the alternative closures when we get Lars on the show. But when you look at the differences, cork has great advantages. It fits the bottle. It allows the air in. But there's a big problem with cork these days. And not that it always wasn't part of it, but as the industrial age has moved forward, you can get a taint called TCA. And TCA is a chlorine-based taint. And what it does, it's naturally in the cork. And also, it comes from chlorine when you're washing the corks and cleaning the corks. And it causes wines to have an off taste, an off flavor that I'll get to in a second. So that is why when you look at 1 in 12 bottles around the world are having this cork problem, that alternative closures are being looked at. And that's probably one of the biggest benefits we're finding. I want you to think about this. If you go to the Mega Mart and you buy 12 bottles of wine, Now, less base facts say you pay $10, and that's being relatively reasonable. So that's $120 a wine. You buy this every week. Well, if you know that one of those bottles every week is going to be bad, by the time you get to the end of the month, you're out $40. By the time you get to the end of the year, you're out $500. That's a big, steep devastation to your pocketbook. Now, with the alternative court closures, no, you don't have as much of a problem with that. When you're looking at alternative court closures, you probably only have 1 in 100 bottles that are bad. And yes, you can have corked wine off a non-court closure. I think if there's any advantage to having a non-court closure, that is the greatest advantage. There's less waste. There's no problem with the wine. There's no problem with the wine being corked. And of course, the jury was out for a long time with restaurant staff and people who were serving without having the whole flair and all the great presentation that came along with wine. I think everyone was deeply concerned that we went to a screw cap, that we wouldn't quite have the romance associated with opening that bottle of wine at the table. We have definitely solved that problem. They've found all kind of cute new ways to do the presentations. So, Tim, I hope that answers your question. If it doesn't, hang around for the next segment. I'm sure Lars will enlighten you a little bit earlier. But to go hand in hand with your question, I actually have an email from Laura right now. What is corked wine and how do you know? Is it because of pieces of cork float in the wine? All right, corked wine goes back to that little chemical I just discussed called TCA. But I want you to think about rainy days in your garage. I want you to think about rainy days around newspaper recycling areas. That lovely smell of wet cardboard is what corked means to wine. It changes the flavors. It changes the aromas. It won't change the color, so you can't tell necessarily by looking at it. But ultimately, if your palate, and it is possible that your palate can pick it up at 4 parts per trillion. I have friends that can't pick it up 400 parts per trillion. But regardless, you taste that wine, and it doesn't taste right. Well, when you say it doesn't taste right, you don't like it. And if you don't like it, you're not going to buy it again. And that's probably one of the biggest devastations we find with cork wine is you can't always definitively say this wine is corked. But a good example is if you smell wet cardboard, it's definitely a corked wine. And just so you know, the little pieces of cork in the wine does not cause it. It's actually the chemical, not the cork itself. Well, we're going to take a small break right here. When we return, more of your calls, more of your emails.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch, increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts? American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
I'm Laura Lawson, this is The Wine Crush, and today we are trying to make cork exciting. And it's always a challenge, but at least we're learning something along the way. Here's an interesting article, and it all ties into what we're talking about. Here's one of your little tidbits. When a cork exits a bottle of champagne, it is doing upwards of 85 miles per hour. Now, this can do some great damage to people if they aren't paying attention, and those that like to pop the corks out of champagne just for meanness, please don't pop them my way. But ultimately, when you think about champagne and you think about corks not going anywhere, you think, well, nothing else can work in a bottle of champagne. Well, you are wrong. The Zork is coming. There is a winery called Villa Maria. It has replaced its cork on Method Traditionnel with a crown seal. And they're moving away from corks in New Zealand. And now they're using screw caps for wine for more than all the 90% of the wine produced in that country. Now, the Zork, the whole concept, it's kind of like a beer cap. And what you do is it's actually bottled like beer. The wine can be opened using a beer opener. Now, I have to admit, I have some hesitations about that. One, that's a lot of pressure built up in a bottle of champagne. I think it's 7 atmospheric pressure per inch or something like that. All the engineers out there can correct me. But it's 7 atmospheres of pressure in that bottle. And I know that sometimes on really hot days, if I take my wine tool to open up the beer, I know that I've had some backlash from that. It just seems like at some point if you use a wine tool to get a beer top off of a champagne bottle, the injury will ensue. But they say no, and they say that this is the new thing coming because in New Zealand they have had problems with cork tainting their sparkling wine. Once again, it goes back to cork taint, a reason why people are looking for something different. So we are soon to see our champagnes and sparklings. Champagnes I will wait and see on, but definitely some sparkling wines around the world coming out with something besides cork. Now, I have seen a lot of parties and I have seen a lot of events, and actually having Jerome on the show was terrifying enough when he's taking a knife to a bottle, but I just simply can't imagine the fact of all these corks and all these cages being let loose at once. Perhaps the beer cap idea is a good one. We shall see. All right, continuing with your calls and your emails, right now we have Kathy from South Carolina on the wine line. Kathy, welcome to The Crush.
I'm going to a South American wine tasting party next week, and I wanted to know, is there a particular order in which you should start tasting wines? Like, should you start with the reds and then finish white, or start with whites and finish red?
All right, easy enough, even though it's not a court question. I like something that's a little divergent. Whether it's a South American, New Zealand, Washington State, Oregon, New York, Alaskan wine tasting, it really doesn't matter. There is a set pattern when you're doing tastings. Always start with your white wines. Always, always, always. As you start progressing through tastings, it's real easy to get palate burnout, especially since a lot of the people I see doing wine tastings tend to make them more wine drinking parties. But you start with your light whites. If you're doing South American, I would say do Torontes first. There's probably some Albarinos there. You're going to go from the higher acid to the higher body wines. So Torontes, Albarino, Sauvignon Blanc, and then you move into the Chardonnays and some of the heavier whites. Now, some people are going to argue with me on this next point. I like to save my sweet wines to the very end of my whites. Some people like to start with sweet. I like to finish with sweet. I find that sugar in heavier wines and the sweeter wines tend to numb my palate, and so I can't get all the good flavors that I would. Also, if you start with sweeter wines, our natural tendency is to like sweeter things. That's why people like me and not Kent. And in doing so, you can really ruin the whole experience. If you take a big sip of Riesling and turn around, take a sip of Sauvignon Blanc, you'll never drink that Sauvignon Blanc again. The traditional way to do your reds is obviously go from lightest to heavier. Start with Pinot Noirs, go to Merlots. From there, you'll go to your Malbecs, and from your Malbecs to your Cabernets. Generally speaking, too, if you're going to do some older vintages wines, save the older vintage wines for last. Those should be what you finish on. So I hope that helps. It sounds like it's going to be an interesting tasting. Would love to see what they were pouring and what to see what they were doing. Feel free to call us back and give us an idea of how that went. So, looking ahead and looking at what corks, I do have an interesting email because I want to dispel this urban legend. This comes from Cleveland, and they don't give me a name. Isn't it true that the reason for all these new closures is because of a national cork shortage? With the Amazon being decimated and all the trees used to make corks are being wiped out? No, that's not true at all. I know people would like to say that. I know people are telling you that the reason we have to find plastic is because we have yet killed another resource. Ultimately, the new closures, they're less expensive. They're less faulty. You don't get as corked wine, and you don't pour as much money down the drain. So I think it's interesting everyone says, oh, all the corks come from the Amazon rainforest. I don't know about you, but I don't know any Amazon rainforest that's close to Portugal or Spain or Greece or any of those areas, unless, of course, I've totally missed my geography again, which has been known to happen. Right now, we have another call on the wine line. We have Nick from Connecticut. Nick, welcome to The Crush.
How long do you store, or what's the appropriate timing for storing or cellaring red wines and white wines, and how do you determine what that time span should be?
All right, Nick, that is not an easy question to answer, so I'm going to give you some rough generalities. When you're looking at everyday whites, you probably don't want to store these wines as a whole more than 2 years. I know that white wines, if I am buying them at my local Mega Mart and I am paying under $30 a bottle, I drank them within 6 months. If I am paying a little bit more for wines, whether it's Farniente from California, whether it's Jordan from California, whether it's Louis Jadot Merceau, whether it's some of the big great Rhone wines, I've been known to say those up 3-4 years. But they have to be laid down correctly. You have to make sure the corks are wet. You have to make sure they're temperature controlled. Now, some people really, really love aged white wines. I am not one of them. I cannot get into the flavors. I know they get nuttier. I know they get richer. I know they get denser. But I like my fruit. I like my flavors, and I like my acidity. And often, as wines age, they lose their acidity and they lose their body. So while it's an interesting tasting experience, it's not something often that lends you to be a true wine fan. Now, reds are a whole different ballgame. Reds can get very difficult very quickly. My standard rule, if you pay more than $75 for a bottle of red wine, it can lay down 5 to 10 years. But it's going to depend on the vintage. It's going to depend on the producer. It's going to depend on where it was grown. Burgundy. Once again, we'll go back to Louis Jadot. If you're going to have a Louis Jadot Grand Echezo, that wine can age 25 years. But on the same token, a little Louis Jadot Pommard can probably only age 5 to 10. So on red wines, you really have to do your homework. You really have to study and think about, is this a Pinot Noir? Is this a Merlot? Is this a Cabernet? Is this something that I want to drink now? What kind of flavors am I looking for? It's funny, that's often why I say Merlot is America's grape, because Cabernets aged are absolutely spectacular. They get soft, they get round, they get lush, they get the black very softened out, the tannins fall out, and they get really approachable. I don't know about you, I don't have the patience to wait 10 years for my wine to taste like that, so I'd just as soon drink a Merlot now. So I wish I could answer that a little bit more clearly, but if you'll call back and let me know what wines you're looking at specifically, I will help you out. We're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, we will have Lars on the show, and he can tell us all about the non-cork closures to give you a counterpoint.
Visit winecrush.com for guest information, wine recommendations, and more. This is the Wine Crush.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Micro Lubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Micro Lubricant? Well, it's the only pure micro lubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Z-Max it.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Don't let your car or truck turn into a clunker. Z-Max it. Z-Max, added to your oil and your gas tank, can clean internal engine components and fuel systems, reduce engine wear, and give you better mileage. Z-Max is a pure micro lubricant that gives you a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. These are some big claims, but they've all been backed up by some of the most rigorous testing in the industry. Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts retailer.
Mozartosties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
I'm Laura Lawson. You're listening to The Wine Crush. Well, if you've stayed with me this long, you have listened to me ramble and give you great facts about corks. But now we have the expert. We have the man of the hour. We have Mr. Lars von Canso. He is with Namacork, and he's going to tell us everything we always wanted to know about the non-cork products, but we're afraid to ask. Lars, welcome to The Crush.
Thank you, Laura. It's great to be here.
It's nice to have you on the show. I have looked forward very much to having someone with your background and pedigree on the show to talk about something of which I can't talk overly intelligibly. I have tried for the last 20 minutes to talk about cork, but there's only so much you can say. Tell us what there's not to be said about cork, and tell us about what y'all do.
Well, we're the world's largest producer of synthetic wine closures, so non-cork corks, if you like, which you open in the traditional way with a corkscrew, and which we have engineered over the years to preserve the wine in a very consistent manner over time. So it's a very consistent, reliable way of preserving wine for the enjoyment of the consumer.
It's just fascinating. I think I read somewhere you started basically in 1999. You have just had an uphill battle until recently, or have you not?
Well, if by battle you mean that it's taken a long time to convince wineries around the world. Obviously, it's, when this first started 10 years ago, you know, there were a lot of people that doubted that, you know, a non-cork product would be the right thing to do. But over time, we've been able to convince people first here in the U.S. where we started, and then in Europe and then other parts of the world. And we enjoy very strong market share now in most key markets everywhere around the world. So it's a journey that continues. We're still taking share, and we're still growing quite rapidly in spite of the economy. But obviously, this is a decision that is very, very important for the winemaker. This is not a decision that they take lightly and decide from one, you know, day to another. You need to go through a lot of testing and a lot of assessments from every which vantage point you can imagine, from a sensory and aroma and everything. And so it takes a long time to make these decisions.
Now, when you're looking at it, our listeners, as we've been talking today, we've kind of looked at screw cap versus cork. But explain to our listeners exactly what your product is.
Well, it's basically a low density polyethylene material that is foamed, so it contains a lot of air cells, if you like. So it's not that much synthetic material. It's a combination of plastic and air, basically. And we, through the technology that we have developed, we allow oxygen to penetrate and go through the cork in a very, very consistent and controlled manner every day, every week, every month, so that there is a constant flow of oxygen into the wine, as allows the wine to breathe in a very controlled fashion.
So you get the benefits of the air like you do with a regular cork.
Well, what we know is that, you know, we had an inkling about this when we first started 10 years ago, but lately in the last few years we have invested a lot of money in research with together with the leading wine research institutes around the world, in really studying the impact of oxygen in wines, which really has never been done before, because the winemakers did a lot of research on the wine prior to bottling. But we are really focusing what happened after bottling and what is the impact of oxygen ingress after the closure is put on there. And we are finding that oxygen has a tremendous impact on the aroma, on the taste, on the structure of the wine, on the color of the wine, dramatic impact after only a few months. So we are continuing those studies, and you know, we're trying to eventually develop the ultimate closure that would be tailor-made to each specific varietal, and within each varietal, depending on what the winemaker wants to express with his wines.
That's just brilliant. I think a lot of people don't really understand the fact that this isn't just something that someone came up with a plastic and stuck it down in a bottle. Y'all put a lot of money and a lot of research behind it to make sure everything will fit. It just fascinates me, the idea of a cork design for each varietal. You'll have to let me help you on the Chardonnay version of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, basically, and it's not just, as I said, it's not just a varietal, but it also depends on what the winemaker wants to express. If you take a Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand, for instance, it's typically very, very fruity, and you want to make sure that you have a closure and you want to have an oxygen ingress that, you know, supports that and expresses that when the bottle finally reaches and is consumed by the consumer. But if you take a Sauvignon Blanc from California, it has much more earthy tones, much more perhaps melon, or you know, totally different taste to it, and it requires a different amount of oxygen. Our ultimate goal is to be able to tailor make that so that the winemaker doesn't have to worry about how it's going to taste a year or 2 years later when it's finally consumed by the consumer.
That's always something that you know, we appreciate when it comes to wine is how the wine's going to taste. But I've got to ask this question just because I'm not going to date myself and talk about how long I've been in the business. I remember the first artificial closures coming out, let's say late 80s. And I remember how difficult those were to get out of the bottles. In fact, to the point where you almost had to break the neck of the bottle to get some of the quote-unquote plastic corks out. Have y'all had a problem with that? And if you have, how have you fought against it?
Well, we really haven't, although there are a lot of perceptions out there along the lines you just described, that a lot of people feel like, you know, it's hard to get those plastic stoppers out. And we see ourselves, and rightly so, I think, differently. We the product that we are selling, and as you know, to, you know, for, you know, not only millions, actually billions of bottles of wines every year, have been engineered in such a way, and they have a little lubricant, if you like, to make sure that they go in and out of the bottle easily. Now, sometimes you need a little bit more force than other times, depending on the bottles vary a little bit. And, you know, depending on the temperature of the wine and the bottle, it varies a little bit. But that's the same with natural corks. I mean, you know, it can be hard to get the natural cork out of the bottle sometimes, but we are essentially performing at the same level as natural cork. So that's a complaint we hear, I think, by bad reputation more than actual fact. We have very, very few complaints regarding that. There's really nothing to talk about at all.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I would much rather open four cases of a wine with your cork stopper on it than have to do a Chianti tasting with those extended, the mass-produced fake corks in those. I have actually stood in front of rooms thinking, I'm really going to have to put this bottle between my knees, hold it desperately, and pull. So,
yeah, I mean, that was the origin of the company, right? How could we eliminate, you know, TCA and cork taint basically from the wine? We were founded by, you know, businessman Gert Noël from Belgium, and he and his son Mark, who started the company here, they were really, you know, great wine connoisseurs and enthusiasts like you, and they just got tired of opening bottles of wine which were tainted.
Well, they are definitely pioneers, no matter how you look at it. Well,
yep.
Lars, thank you very much for being part of the Crush today. Thank you for giving our listeners something worthwhile and interesting to listen to besides me. And as y'all get these different corks progressed and trying them out, keep in mind I'm volunteering to be a taster.
Very good. It was nice being on the show. Thank you, Laura.
Lars, take care. We're going to take a small break right here. When we return, we will wrap up and stop up our whole conversation about corks, and everything you ever wanted to know will finally be behind us.
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is The Wine Crush.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
I have a structured settlement and needed my money. Waiting over time to receive payments wasn't working, so I contacted CBC Settlement Funding. They helped me turn my structured settlement into immediate cash. If you're receiving a structured settlement spread out over time and you want a lump sum amount immediately, you need to call now. I purchased a local bakery with my lump sum, a goal I thought I would never reach. Now I make my own dough. I always wanted to operate my own business, and thanks to CBC Settlement Funding, we are open for business. Structured settlements are commonly used to resolve personal injury lawsuits. Annuities are designed to spread payments out over 10 or 20 years.
If you have a structured settlement and you want cash now, call CBC Settlement Funding for fast cash today. 800-203-3517. 800-203-3517. 3517. 800-203-3517.
Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress. He lost. He was nominated for vice president. He lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. And Abraham Lincoln was no loser. Persistence. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
The entire world watched. They watched each step down the rungs of that small ladder, one after another, and waited with great anticipation for that last step.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
At that moment, humanity saw the impossible become the possible, and today the sky is not the limit. Achievement. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Lawson, this is the Wine Crush. Today we have taken a very in-depth look at bottle closures. We have looked at cork. I've given you the history of cork. And we had Lars on to talk about non-cork. Of course, we can't get through this without bringing up a screw cap. And ultimately it comes down, what's topping off your wine? And when you look at all the different facets and all the different options, it comes down to one thing. And Lars put it very succinctly. It comes down to taste. What closure is going to guarantee the taste of my wine? What closure is going to guarantee that what I buy off the shelf is going to be drinkable and it's going to be what I expect when I pour it in my glass? But also it comes down to a matter of personal taste. It doesn't have to be dictated by what champagne owners say. It doesn't have to be dictated by what waiters and sommeliers say. What is your personal taste? If you want to make your life easy and you want to use a screw cap, if you like the glamour of pulling out a corkscrew and dragging that whole cork out of the wine, whatever makes you happy is what you should be following. Because as we get more and more into the depths of the wine world, as we look at more producers coming online and more wineries coming online, we're going to find a plethora of different options in this. So whether it's non-cork, whether it's cork, whether it's screw cap, or even the ones we haven't discussed it, the Venlock, the glass corks, even the wax closures, there's something out there for everybody. But ultimately, keep in mind, this is all about your personal taste. Well, on that note, I'm going to go hone my own personal taste, but here at The Crush, we remind you to sip socially, drink responsibly, drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.